Thanks for talking to me, Lachlan.
No worries.
And congratulations. Oh my
Thank
goodness.
you.
How
Thank you. Yeah,
great
it's
for
awesome.
you. I watched all the films that are in the shorts program, and I really wanted to ask you, how did you know that animation was for you? How
For
did you ever
me.
get to this stage?
I guess I thought I was gonna go into live action originally. I thought that was where I was heading, and I like was always playing with cameras and things like that. I had like done a bit of animation way back then, and enjoyed it, but hadn't really given it much more thought than like, oh, okay, here's another way of making films. And so I didn't get into live action filmmaking like when I went to go study it, and I had animation as like a second preference. And so I studied that for a bit, trying to figure out if there was something there that interests me. So I learned a bit of all the different types of animation and arrived back at stop motion about a year into my studies. And that's where it sort of really connected with me. It's kind of this sort of middle ground, I think, between live action and animation. You're kind of still using cameras and lights, and it's kind of the same problem solving, I think.
Well, because I tried to do a bit of animation at one stage, and what I realized about it was that it was the way you think. You have to think in a particular way, which I don't. And that's why I'm so impressed. You probably just do it without realizing that it's something that not everybody can do.
It takes a lot of practice. I think I'm getting to that place. Like it gets easier and easier. Like I want it to be as intuitive as possible. But I definitely think when I started out, I'm mostly just thinking about like those basic like animation principles of getting it to look like it's like breathing and living and that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
So I think
because
that
it's a
stuff.
trick, isn't it? It's
Yeah,
like magic.
exactly.
It's like
Yeah,
magic.
it is. It
It's
is.
quite
Yeah. So
extraordinary.
yeah, it just takes that practice to get to the point where it's sort of second nature.
Now, the next thing about it is that animation is fantastic because it appears to me that it's a flight of fancy. There's a certain flight of fancy involved in it, right?
In animation, I think so. There's always that like that question of like why is this animated rather than live action? And so I think that pops up early on is like this is animation, we're building everything, so we may as well make it a bit more fantastical, or have it set on the moon or something, like it you're open to building whatever world or story you can imagine.
So that's what you're doing. You're building worlds. And I looked at your other stuff. It's not just building worlds. It's also reflecting on the world that we're in.
Yeah, it is. I think, yeah, there's something really cool about animation where because it's like slightly removed, that then you're like paying a lot more attention to those sort of little details of like what makes us human, or what how like idiosyncrasy and stuff. I feel like I emphasize when you're watching it through an animated puppet. Yeah, I like that about animation.
Did you in this particular the one that's been going to the Academy Award,
Nominated, yeah.
nominated, an ostrich told me the world is fake, and I think I believe it. Great title.
Thank you.
Did you actually think you were the main character? Were you thinking in the main character's view?
If I was writing like dialogue and stuff for that character, yes. And if I was animating, I think sometimes, yes. Because I would like act out the scenes before starting to animate to get a sense of like what the shot was going to be, and to figure out what those like little idiosyncrasies would be, because it's hard to tell sometimes. And so when you record yourself, then you look at that and you can pick up on little things that you can use in your animation. And sometimes when you do that a lot, it kind of starts to it starts to bake into your muscle memory a bit, so you can kind of feel the performance as you're animating it. So in that sense, yeah, I can re like I can see that. Oh no, that doesn't feel quite right. It would, you know, as you're animating, and you would like move it and adjust it accordingly. And that I continue to get better at.
One of the things that's interesting is that there's a lot of you're looking. I mean, they're short, right? The short is short, but it's incredibly dense in detail. It's that's quite extraordinary. It's like those pictures where you've got a huge crowd and you've got to find one object in a way.
I mean, yeah, I was really I wanted to make sure that I could put as much as I could into that 10 minutes. And so yeah, I wanted to make sure that you were entertained the whole way through. And yeah, find that balance of where is too much. And yeah, I'm happy to hear that you were that you found that there were lots of stuff to be enjoyed in the film.
Well, and also the other thing that's interesting is, of course, that you're the writer. I mean, everything about doing an animation, like you said before, you're creating a world, but you're in control in on every level, which is a great
Absolutely.
thing for you, I guess. It's a very magical thing to be doing. But the story is, because it's 10 minutes, it's got to be very swift, and it's got to be as clever as a Philip K. Dick short story, in a sense. What's the hook? What's the hook, and how do you get there? And the other, and I know this is a sort of a long-winded question, but like with comedy, you're talking about something actually really big and important in this film, but people could go away just being amused as well. You're allowed to say things that you wouldn't normally allowed to be a say about the capitalist system that we live in.
And yeah, that was important to me that you could just take it as a piece of entertainment, and that was fine if you wanted to, if just enjoy it as that. But yeah, there are then those underlying things, and I think yeah, when you're talking about those kind of themes, it's I think yeah, it's a bit more palatable if you've got that humor there, just to help you through it. Otherwise, yeah, it can get a bit too bleak, or yeah, I didn't want it to get too dark. I wanted it to have that humor there. The first part of your question,
Really about what's the hook? I was wondering, is it personal experience? I read one of the reviews that someone said about the film, about a dead end job, right? And I'm thinking, because I do programs about working people and their lives and stuff, us, dead end job. Oh well, that's a lots of people's experience.
Yeah, I didn't work in a call center, but I did work as a spruiker for a long time, like standing out the front of a chemist or a jeweler with the microphone just announcing the specials over and over, and it has that real repetitiveness, and yeah, it just gets really dull. I definitely pour a lot of that into the main character. I'm just sort of feeling stuck and kind of not knowing where his life's going. You like in the film, he's like trying to sell a toaster to, you know, over the phone. It's kind of this really soul-crushing thing. I can definitely relate to that.
How does a person doing something like this, a stop motion, because it's really dense and it's complicated, but it's short at the same time. How do you go from the beginning to the end, practically, technically?
This film was produced through an academic program, so it had to be sort of research first. Like I had to go and read about the topic I wanted to kind of investigate, and then pour that into the project. So the film is the research output, and so I always had to justify it from the perspective of, you know, academic journals that I've read, or a dissertation that I enjoyed, or stuff like that, and
Very
trying to figure
disciplined.
out. Yeah, well, I had to be like I did before this. I didn't really pitch myself as a researcher, you know, and so I had to really forced myself to look at it through that perspective. And I don't think I would have arrived at the film that I did had it not been through that lens. So I was trying to find a way of showing as much of the reflexive qualities of stop motion so that you're always aware that it's this handmade tactile thing. And that for me, that's a really important part of the charm of stop motion. And so I looked into like reflexive narratives and like meta gags and things like that, where those kind of things are embedded in the narrative. So they're part of the engagement with the story. And so you could have things like the faces falling off and stuff like that, which could then you could, yeah, it's that weird, like you're in two states of mind of like, oh, these are inanimate things, but you're also engaging with them as characters. And yeah, I really enjoy that. I think it's a really special thing that you can do in animation. That's been done like a lot throughout animation history. You can track it back to like the origins where you would there was always this kind of relationship between like the artist and the like the art, where you'd have what's called the hand of the artist, where the cartoonist would like draw the cartoon, and then it would come to
Looney
life.
Tunes, they used to do that
Yeah,
sometimes.
exactly. Yeah, and so yeah, there was that that relationship with, yeah, just kind of positioning it as like this thing that an artist created, and then it's brought to life. And so yeah, it was cool to kind of yeah, pay homage to that.
So you were doing this project. It's from Griffin University, right? Because you're based in Queensland.
Yes, that's right. Yes, Griffith Film School.
And so then you were, so you had this project, you did the research, you then built it into this animation. So what would a script look like?
Yeah, it's I guess it's pretty preliminary. Preliminary. There were lots of ideas in the script that I wasn't sure what they were going to look like, or that were like, okay, I'll have to explore that further once I get further down the line. And so that sort of monitor within a screen kind of thing. There were like a few different ideas of like how to show that, and so I had to test those out and see which was like the least distracting or the most or had more interest. Like one of the ideas was to just move the camera back a bit so you could just see around the set, and so there were issues with that meant like it was difficult to show like close-ups and stuff like that. So I came up with the other idea. One of them was just to show the back of the camera, but that didn't work for other reasons. And I ended up on this monitor that so you could see the scenes, but you could also see a little bit of the behind the scenes as well.
Because what is going on actually for me anyway was you're saying a lot about time and space as well as movement. Time and space, it was almost breathless. It made me feel breathless watching this. It was really quite exciting film, I'll have to say. It must take a long time to make, right?
It does. And that's why I think it's cool when you see it sort of whiz by in the background. It took about 10 months to do the animation process. So it's nice for me because it's kind of this little time capsule of, oh, that's what I did for about a year, just whizzing past on screen. And then so but like the entire project was in a 3-year duration, which is like the length of the doctorate degree.
Yeah, fantastic. And did you just do it by yourself, or were you work? Did you have any people who helped you out?
Yeah, so you have university supervisors that you meet with almost weekly, and discuss like what's new and what you're planning to do, and that's sort of like the sounding board, and it becomes really collaborative. Like you're meeting with the like you yeah you're working with these people with for 3 years, and you form this trust, and you can get to some really exciting places, and they also have an animation background, so they can like point you in directions of, oh, you should read this, or you should go down this route, like Brechtian theater. Like, that's a very reflexive thing. And so yeah, there's all these different perspectives on it. So yeah, I collaborated mostly with them. The film was made during lockdown, so a lot of the practical stuff was just me in the living room. And then yeah, I had like voice actors and stuff like that. And yeah, so it was, yeah, it was m a lot of the for the most of the time it was just me.
Well, that's pretty intense. I feel like it's a Repo Man moment. Intense. What was the nomination process to get into the Academy Awards? Was that
Yeah,
long and
so
difficult?
it's very long. There's a lot of like voting process involved, and the way it goes for a student film to be nominated, you have to first win an eligible award, which you can do as like a student Academy Award or an award at a participating like festival. And so I've won one of those, and that means you can submit it to the Oscars, and that alone was like amazing. Like, that was beyond anything we could have dreamed for. And so we did that. About like 80 animated shorts were submitted. Then there's a voting process, and it narrows down to the short list, which is top 15. And then you do another voting process, and then it comes down to the top five, which are the nominees,
And
which is
top
where
five,
we are.
which is where we are. And I've looked at the other ones, and they're all really fascinating films, I'd have to say. And the level of animation and the style of animation is so different from each other. So there's going to be a tricky period. The same with the shorts, the other shorts. They're just so amusing. I love shorts. I'm old enough, just old enough to remember when they had shorts before they had a feature. And
Oh yeah.
sometimes the shorts are much more interesting than the feature. But that's a very long time ago. It's a great thing that the whole program is going to be available to about 40 locations across Australia. And
Yeah, amazing.
good luck.
Thank you very much.
Oh, what do you do next? What do you do for an
What do I do
encore?
next? Sorry?
What do you do for an encore? What do you do next?
Oh, for an encore. Yeah, I'm still figuring that out. Like, I the dream is a feature film. I'd love to develop something in that space for animation. And yeah, so I'm having those thoughts now, and figuring out what those ideas are before I head over to
Yeah.
LA.
Oh, well, have a good time, Lachlan. And the other thing is, you've got a great surname.
Oh, thank you.
Pendragon. You see, you're Arthur. You're going out there to fight, slay the dragon. Good luck.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
You too.